Reading from starting at verse 5, going through to verse 18. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father, who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think that they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This then is how you should pray. Our Father, in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they distort or disfigure their faces to show men they are fasting. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to men that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Well, how have your prayer times been this week? Been good? Sweet? Special? I pray that that's the case. And if not, I pray that that would increase. Jesus has done something very special for us, as we talked about last week. He tore the veil and made a way for us that right now we can enter the Holy of Holies. And what a wonderful thought. And that's just a reminder for us that prayer is about being in relationship, isn't it? About being in relationship with Jesus. He wants to talk to us. And it's not about how much we pray. Sometimes I think Christianity has done a disservice in saying, well, you know, how much have you prayed? It's almost like you're ticking off a box. You know, it gets into a religious kind of form. And probably many of you have heard this statement, but religion is spelled D-O, do. Do, 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 do. Do this, and you'll do that. But Christianity is spelled differently. D-O-N-E. It's been done. Jesus has done it for us, right? He's made a way for us. Just this statement reminds me a lot of the Old Testament when it came to Elijah, the prophets of Baal, right? What did they do, right? They were cutting themselves. They were doing all sorts of different things in order to get Baal's attention. Elijah called once, and God consumed the offering, the water, everything. And it's not about what we do, but what has been already done for us. And the knowledge of our relationship with Jesus, that he has set us free. You know, we are free people here today. We are free. We are set free by the blood of the Lamb. We don't need to have a burden on our minds or hearts that we have to do more in order to please him. We do more because he's already done everything for us. He became nothing so that we could have everything, right? And so we, as we pray, that attitude, that perspective, that position needs to revolutionize how we pray. That because he's given so much, he, as we pray, he will reveal his truths, his heart to us. Isn't that a wonderful thought? It should revolutionize how we pray. And I think the hunger to pray, the desire to talk to our Savior and Lord every day, just to say, Jesus, what do you have for me today? What do you have for me in this moment that I need to be as a whatever situation you're in? And pray boldly. I think it adds boldness to our prayers because of the position we have in Jesus Christ. Amen? Because of that position. And folks, you've heard it before. I'm going to say it again. I'm sure all the pastors in this church have said this before. But Jesus, when the disciples came to Jesus, they didn't ask him how to preach. They didn't ask him how to teach. What did they ask him? How, teach us how to pray. How to pray. How to pray. Well, we could spend almost 52 Sundays on this very topic. There's so much. But this is the last Sunday, unless the Holy Spirit changes that. So what are we going to do? Well, our mission and vision statement says, all our ministries within the congregation and beyond will be supported by an enriched church-wide prayer ministry, consisting of current prayer opportunities and new prayer initiatives. I want to see new prayer initiatives. Amen? There's some good stuff that's happening here. Since I've been here this year, this 1 year, there's been some amazing things that God has done, and we've seen answers to prayer. And it's wonderful, isn't that? But how do we go deeper with that? Well, we see, as I said earlier, that in Luke 11:1, that's Jesus said, and his disciples asked how we should pray. And when we pray, we don't have to have tons of words in order to sound holier, just like he says here in Matthew chapter 6. There was one time I was directing a camp, and a teacher came to me and said, one of my best friends just phoned, and his best friend, which is a mutual friend, just committed suicide. Can you pray with me? And so we sat down on a log in front of Echo Lake, and we prayed, and his daughter was with him. It was interesting. I prayed and sought the Lord with many words. And after we were done, his daughter said to me, boy, that was a long prayer. Why'd you pray so long, Pastor Joseph? I said, well, because I love Jesus. My answer. I love to talk to him, right? I wasn't trying to sound holier. I wasn't trying to sound like some great theologian or philosopher. My heart hurt for my friend in a deep way because his friend just committed suicide. That hurt deeply. And so when Jesus talks about public prayers and private prayers here, that's exactly what he's talking about. That it's not so much when we pray publicly, what is our motive for praying publicly? Is it to be heard by men and how eloquent and how amazing we sound? No, it's not. It's the motivation of our hearts. Person I got to know through Sherry's family over the last number of years always prayed at the table, very short prayer. God bless the food, amen. Okay, sound very short, abrupt. And I asked this relative of Sherry's one time, why? Why do you pray so, you know, just so abruptly and so shortly? It's like, well, a number of years ago, he prayed a longer prayer at a table blessing, and someone came to him afterwards and berated the prayer. Too long. What you're praying around the world, man. Just get to the point. Ouch. I share those two examples with you. I don't want to condemn long praying people or lift up three-word prayer people. And neither is Jesus saying that here. But we need to be aware of our motives in why we pray. Why, what we're saying. And not to, you know, for you analytical types, now you're going to get your brains going and you're going to go, oh no, now when I open my mouth, I just have to analyze every single syllable that comes out of my mouth. No. Don't. Don't even open your mouth if that's the case. God honors broken and humble prayers. Whatever comes out of your mouth comes out of your mouth. And shame on us as people and the body of Christ for shaming others for good prayers or bad prayers. It's just the motivation of your heart. We need to be praying. That's the key. Whatever comes out of your mouth comes out of your mouth. If it's like those little kids' prayers, God honors those. God honors short prayers, longer prayers. He looks at the motivation of the heart, right? Just like he looked on David and his heart, not his stature. He looks in our hearts, not the eloquent words that come out of our mouths. So repeating the same words over and over like a magic incantation is no way to ensure that God will hear your prayer. And here, as I said before, the choice was not between public or private prayer, but between heartfelt and hypocritical prayer. Jesus says, don't be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask. Isn't that comforting? That's hugely comforting for me. Our Father knows what we need before we even ask Him. Psalm 139 tells us that, doesn't it? Right? He knows the very thoughts in our heads before we think them. He knows everything. If He didn't, He wouldn't be sovereign. He knows exactly what's on your mind, my mind, right now. That can be intimidating, but it can also be very comforting. So that can help us to have the right motivation when we pray. So let's quickly go through a very, very familiar prayer, the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, what does that look like? That's on there, yes. He gives us a direction for our prayers, right? Many other religions have certain directions, and there is other religions that have prayer involved with them, but our prayers are to our Father in heaven, right? And He gives us a perspective, He gives us a focus, helps us. Hallowed be your name. What is the devotion behind our prayers? Well, we're hallowing and lifting up God's name. We are saying we are dependent on your name. Your name is holy, your name is righteous, your name is true. Hallowing God in our prayers. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Our desired results of prayer. We want to see God's kingdom come, don't we? We want to see His will be done in everything that we do. So our desired result of prayer. And sometimes we don't know what the result is going to be. Often we do. We don't know, do we? But we give it over to Him. It's not Joseph's kingdom come or Faith Community Baptist Church's kingdom come. It's your kingdom come. Perspective. And having His results come through prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. How many of you know that God provides? God provides, doesn't He? God is going to provide for our finances, as John prayed earlier. Give us today our daily bread. Other translations say, give us today the food we need. Not necessarily huge amounts of frozen food in big freezers, although many of us have that. I'm so grateful for deep freezes, especially when you have little kids. Amen? You need lots of deep freeze space for lots of things. So glad when we look at other countries, we look at other cultures, this really rings true. They are so grateful for every morsel that goes in their mouth. May we be the same, even in our very blessed nation and blessed province. Forgive us our debts or trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Relational depth in prayer. And as we see here in verses 14 and 15, very stark and black and white words from our Lord and Savior. Basically, if you forgive men their sins, they will be forgiven. If you do not, God will not forgive your sins. Wow. Jesus forgave our sins at the cross. He did. But there's many times we have people that come against us in our world, and we need to forgive. And as we look at the picture of the cross here, the very apropos picture of forgiveness, of course, it's the ultimate picture of forgiveness, that if we don't forgive others, which is the horizontal, then there's going to be a cutoff with the vertical, right? So there's that. We need to be very careful in that regard. That's how we keep short accounts. We forgive quickly, forgive often. And finally, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Prayers of deliverance. That the evil one would not be able to come and steal, kill, and destroy what God wants to do in our lives. He can't steal our salvation, but He can steal our joy by being distracted, right? And so we pray for deliverance in that regard. What is prayer? I want us to watch a short video. just to give you a perspective, another, for some of you visual learners, this might be helpful. But watch this, and then we'll continue.
What is prayer? Stale tradition. Ritual. A good luck charm. Part of some religious checklist. Done to appease a higher being so we can get what we want. Or at least avoid the lightning bolt. Prayer has been redefined and twisted and confused. But at its essence, prayer is simply talking to God. The God who spoke the universe into creation, who gives us life and breath, who holds all things together. This God wants us to talk to him. In the vastness of all that exists, he actually cares about us, personally, individually. How can we not pray to such a loving God, wherever we are? How can we not thank him for what he's done or cry out when we need help, when we need forgiveness, when we're afraid, when we give thanks for our blessing or question where our next meal will come from? Why would we live a life apart from him? It's not about formulas. How could any posture or well-chosen word impress the author of time and space? It's simple obedience. God has made himself available to us. He wants to hear from us. He wants us to trust in him, to acknowledge our dependence on him, to draw near to the one who loved us first. Approaching with confidence, because Christ has torn away the veil. He's washed away the sin that kept us from his presence. And we live in relationship with our Lord. And so we ask that his kingdom come, his will be done on earth and in our lives as it is in heaven. That is prayer.
I think I can almost say amen and step down from that. Not even preach anything else. But that is prayer. Do we want to see his kingdom come and his will be done on earth as it is in heaven? The kingdom perspective. Kingdom perspective that is enriched by the truths of God's word, but is even bigger. As I said before, that God doesn't work against his word, but he does work outside. And he wants to enrich our lives with the power of he has in store for us. There's something bigger in each of our lives, I believe. And by bigger, I mean something that may take us out of our comfort zone, something that even just a little bit pushes us a little bit further into relationship, deeper into relationship with Jesus. Our vision is to be rooted deep. Prayer helps to root us deep, to give us a kingdom perspective. That we don't just emptily say, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I found myself over the years saying that just as a something to say because it's what I learned, I memorized. But it's so much more than that. It's a personal perspective on an immense and huge God that we serve. That can help us to see his perspective in the moments of our days where we need it so deeply. Dr. O'Halsby says this, to pray is to let Jesus come into our hearts. Not just once as a sinner's prayer that we like to say, which is good, but did you pray this morning, or did we pray this morning that Jesus would come into our hearts and rule and reign? Again, it's not about doing, it's about being, right? That Jesus is here. He's here right now. In this building, he's here because the power of the Holy Spirit is residing in all of our hearts and all of our minds, right? He wants us to have more of himself, more of himself. It's his kingdom, his perspective. We We all know this scripture, Revelation 3:20. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person, and they with me. That's prayer. Supping with the Savior. Having fellowship with Him. Prayer is a wonderful journey that begins with us opening the door of our minds and hearts to Jesus, allowing Him to have fellowship with us. Our meals in North American culture, for the most part, are more of a necessity to fill our bodies than an actual experience. And we talked about that a few months back with Surprise the World, eating with somebody, opening up. But when Jesus stayed with the disciples for a short time and broke bread with them, their eyes were opened and they acknowledged who He was. We take that time to see and welcome Him amongst our days. We have full days. I was just talking to someone this week who said, I have to say no to some things. My life is too full, too busy. We say no to some things in order to say yes to Jesus. Right? Again, I don't want to heap a burden of guilt or anything else on you to say, you know, and to counteract what I said earlier. It's not about that. But that Jesus wants to have time with us. He is knocking at the doors of our hearts, not just for salvation, but to come in and reveal more of Himself to us. Prayer is that. Prayer is the spiritual lifeline of the soul. It is the place and practice where the soul receives nourishment. And we continually need soul nourishment like we need air to breathe. That is why we are commanded and told in 1 Thessalonians, which we talked about last week, to pray continually, have an attitude of prayer, desire to pray. Last year at this time, I mentioned and started out our time in relationship together talking about journey. And I love one of my all-time favorite passages is the Luke 24 passage, the Emmaus Road. Jesus wants to journey with us. He loves us. He wants us to be with Him and reveal Himself to us. A continual prayer journey. Whether that be a form of breath prayer or what we did last week, if that was uncomfortable for you, you know, maybe keep trying it. Maybe there's something else that can help us to draw close. Maybe it's just simply, as I've talked to a few people that are mechanics, that are working with their hands. And I found this even as I was up on the roof with Troy this week, praying. Every moment, praying. Jesus, help me with this. Help me not to fall off the roof. You know, Troy grabbed me once, so I think Jesus was working through him. So. But we, even those moments, and sometimes, you know, I get frustrated with certain things, certain tasks. Just a sentence prayer, please. Jesus, help me. Help. Just that continual dependence. And our continual prayers isn't an excuse for having a prayer life. Or having times of prayer that are deeper, that are longer, or morning prayers, whatever that may look like. And part of that Emmaus Road prayer journey is fasting. So we look at this, verses 16 through 18. When you fast and why we fast? Just a couple questions. Fasting is a spiritual discipline that can help us draw closer. We see here, when you fast, it's not if you fast. So fasting needs to be part of our ongoing relationship with Jesus. And all Jews were commanded to fast once a year on the Day of Atonement. That was a public fast. So look at when we fast publicly and privately in the midst of that. So a public fast basically was a public fast with Esther. There was most of her attending women with her fasted for 3 days before she approached the king to be able to come before him with boldness, with focus, intercede for her people, who Haman had put on notice would be killed. She didn't do this in order to make herself more holy, as some of the Pharisees were doing. They were called to fast maybe once a week, but they fasted way more than that, right? Just for people to see some holy person. We even see pagans so to speak, fasting. We all know the story of Jonah. Jonah didn't want to go, didn't want to go. Then he went, he gave the message to the Ninevites. And what did the king of Nineveh do? First thing, tore his clothes, went on, put on sackcloth and ashes, and he had called for a fast. He called for a fast. Fast for repentance. Fasting doesn't have to be from food. Fasting can be from many things. I read recently, and I've done it myself, try fasting from email. Try fasting from Facebook for a little while. Try fasting from technology for a little while. It's good. It's good to shut your phone off once in a while. I preach to myself about that too. Need to do that. Well, there's a person who couldn't be here today, who wanted to be here today, and many of you know his name, Roy Pahal. Roy and I sat down this week, and he sure wished he could be here, but his back is sore, and you can pray for him, please. He had a powerful, amazing experience with fasting, prayer. And without further ado, if you can put that video on, and it's about 5 minutes, and just if you can prank it, please, that would be awesome. Let's listen to Roy.
My name is Roy Pahal. Before I say anything, I want you to know I give all the credit to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I'm just a vessel he used to perform a miracle. He could have used each or every one of you as he felt led. This miracle was used in all, but Jesus still performs miracles and answers prayers. I was full of fluid right up to my diaphragm on July 25th and gasping for breath. Initially, I was diagnosed with pneumonia, and later I was told that I also had a blood infection. I was put on intravenous antibiotics, especially for chosen to treat these two infections. I was full of chemicals, but I was too weak to walk.
Tell me when you're ready.
Assisted to a chair. My name is Roy Pahal. Before I say anything, I want you to know I give all the credit to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I'm just a vessel he used to perform a miracle. I was full of chemicals, but I was too weak to walk. I was assisted to a chair and each morning and put back to bed after lunch. I begged the Lord to take me home or heal me completely. I was in agony, but he wouldn't let me die. I witnessed to everyone that would listen, to staff and visitors. I told them that they need to know Jesus if they want to go to heaven. Quoting John 14:6, no man cometh to the Father except by me. And so I quote that scripture. I kept preparing people to realize that they needed Jesus and that there's only one way to heaven is through Jesus Christ. So, and this, Jesus is a spirit of truth and righteousness. Jesus' spirit and my spirit became very close. I learned on his spirit was leaned on his spirit for strength. On Friday, August 30th, I felt the spirit ask me if I would fast and pray from food and oral medications. I said I would do this. I would do this, and I told the nursing staff of my decision. Then I told my daughter, Dawn, and my wife, Florence. We all cried, and they thought I was checking out because I couldn't live without water. My mind was very clear, and I was at peace start to fast. The Spirit said he wanted me to fast for and pray for 3 days. First day, I had no water. The second day, I had small sips of water and prayed. On the third day, a miracle happened. My body was cleared from all, from top to bottom, and I drank water to flush my body. I drank it and it's supposed to and cleared the inside. Sunday morning when I called down, came to the hospital, she said, "You look great." And I said, I felt like a new man. My mind was a bit befuddled because I thought every day was Saturday. Called down, fasted and prayed with me, as did a close friend, Tim. And he prayed with me as well and fasted. I'm still off most medication, and my body is working slow but well. I would understand your pastor is encouraging you to pray for more often. I'm urging you to spend more time in prayer, praise, and worship to Jesus Christ our Lord. He wants you to draw near to and close to Him. And as you do that, you'll start hearing and hearing the Spirit speak to you. And He'll guide and direct you, but you need to know personally and be on fire for Him and be willing to witness at any time. I thank you for hearing my testimony. I'm sorry I couldn't be there in person, but I had to write it out because my mind is still trying to readjust from being phased out for so long in the hospital. I was in there for 7 weeks, so last few days I never even got out of bed before a miracle happened. And I give God all the glory, and thank you for listening to me, and I pray that you all listen to your pastor and get on fire and draw close to Jesus. Put Him first in your life, I pray. Amen.
Amen. Yes. Keep continuing to pray for Roy. His back is giving him problems, but he had legs like stovepipes, and now his legs are back to normal. Complete healing from all fluid buildup. So say that. There's a living example to us of how God answers prayer. He heals. God still works miracles. Amen. And Roy is a living example of that to encourage us today. So as we take this journey of prayer, our focus is dual, both continually inward and continually outward. So as we are going continually inward, being rooted in prayer, asking God to reveal His will to us, His word to us, are we willing to be bold, much like Roy was? Not saying that God would work the same way in our lives. He works very differently in all of our lives. But the power of our prayers is real. I just want to remind us of that. In the book of Revelation, chapter 8, verses 3 through 5, it says this. Another angel, who had a golden censer, came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense to offer with the prayers of all of God's people on the golden altar in front of the throne. He was given much incense to offer with the prayers of all of God's people on the golden altar in front of the throne. The smoke of the incense, together with the prayers of God's people, went up before God from the angel's hand. Then the angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar, and hurled it on the earth. And there came peals of thunder, rumblings, flashings, flashes of lightning, and an earthquake. Our prayers for people come before God. They come before the throne of God. And we are not necessarily a tradition of people that have the incense and the altar and those kind of things. Sometimes maybe some of that type of thing maybe freaks us out a little bit. But it's a beautiful picture of what our prayers are doing and interceding. Here we see that these prayers are going up as incense. And if you have this picture in your mind, there's incense in a bowl, and then coals are put on this incense, and then it wafts upward and has a beautiful smell. Just to think of that picture. And then all of a sudden, we see this picture of this angel taking this censer filled with fire from the altar and hurling it on the earth with the prayers of God's people, with the incense. Sometimes we pray and we think about our culture. We think about those around us. We think of the injustice that happens. But just think of this for a moment. We may not see justice now, and our prayers may not be answered now in the immediate. Sometimes they are. But as we pray, as we plead, as we persist in prayer, that God will hear our prayers. He does hear our prayers. And he will enact justice, his justice, not ours, but his justice on the situations in our world, in our lives, in his time. Isn't that a wonderful comfort and encouragement for us today? That God hears us, and he will bring justice. He brings justice in this circumstance that Revelation talks about. And I believe God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he brings intercession and justice as well in many different parts of our lives. So God uses these prayers and brings justice. And as we give ourselves over to introspective prayer, we will be all that much more equipped to be intercessory prayer warriors. People will be attracted to us because of our intimacy with Jesus. One pastor a number of years ago, I heard this statement, I don't remember his name. He says, be famous with Jesus in the secret place, place of prayer, in order to make Jesus famous in the world. Be famous with Jesus in the secret place, so that Jesus will be made famous in the world. Go to Jesus. Talk with him. Be with him. Many of you, I think, have heard of the Wototo Choir from Africa. They came to Whitewood, where I was at, and they said to myself and another pastor, we want to pray for you. I said, okay, sure. And I think it was more like, we want you to come and pray with us. So they invited us, and we went into this circle of lovely little African children. And man, oh man, those kids know how to pray. With passion, with genuine desire, they know. Because there's an intimacy there. There's a desire there. They know that God has answered their prayers. They've seen them answer. They've come from nothing. Most of them have been given so much. Powerful, intimate prayers that I felt overwhelmed by, as did the other pastor. In a way, we went to go pray for them, and they prayed for us, and it was truly life-changing. Powerful. How can we deepen our current prayer opportunities? Well, by praying continually, having a prayerful attitude, by looking to Jesus' model of prayer, not just for something to say, but for something to live as a guidance point. By also, this is very specific, pray for our government. Just recently got given this. We're in the midst of an election. Federal election. We just went through a provincial election. Don't have time to get into the 1 Timothy 2 passage, but if you want something like this, please talk to me. It has many different prayer points that are outlined in Scripture to pray for those in authority over us. As Paul said to Timothy, you need to pray for those in authority over you so that you may lead quiet and peaceful lives on the earth. And that person that Paul was urging Timothy to tell others to pray for was dictatorial Caesar, not a democratically elected prime minister. Very interesting. So we need to be praying no matter what our stripe, no matter what our color, no matter how we vote on October 21st, we need to pray and pray and pray and pray more for our government officials. We need to phone Roger and Darlene. We need to pray for them. We need to text them. Amen? We need to be doing that. Please, they need our prayers. They need our cover. So what would new prayer initiatives look like? Well, I think as council members, as leaders, we need to be spending more time in discerning prayer around our council table, seeking God and where He would have us to be. Possibly having a prayer team praying for the service during the service. These are just practical examples of what could be. I'm not saying what they currently are. Having more prayer walks individually and in groups around Claire's home. We've done some already, but I highly encourage prayer walking. You need to get out and walk. You need to go for a run, get your exercise. I run usually 2 or 3 times a week, and my running and my praying go together. Every house I go by, every business I run by, I pray for. Pretty simple, right? Just a simple prayer. Do we want to see change in our town? And I know we do. We want to see a change. We want to see revival. Amen? And if we want to see revival, as we always say, it starts here. It starts in our hearts. It starts in our own lives. And so we must be people of prayer in order to see this town won over for Jesus. Have Him build His life in us, as we've been singing that theme song, build my life, build my life. We want to see that in our town as well. And we're going to see in this fall season some intergenerational prayer initiatives with some of the senior men's group and the senior ladies groups praying for each other and praying for the youth of our church. And we may in the future, maybe a not too distant future, see whole services on Sunday devoted to prayer. Whole services on Sunday devoted to prayer. So just want to, I don't know what that'll look like. These are just ideas that I'm sensing. But I want to hear from you. Now it's your turn to do something. And ask, and I think Matt's here, and Linda, you want to come up? Again, this may make you feel a little uncomfortable, but too bad. It's going to take the next 5 minutes after you receive these. I'm going to hand out some little post-it notes, some pens. And I want you guys to just gather around 4 or 5 people in your general vicinity. And first of all, begin, it's going to be a prayer group, and just begin by praying and thanking Jesus, adoring Him. I'm kind of the Acts model of prayer in that regard, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. But just spend that adoration time to get our minds focused together, maybe by saying the names of God that are mentioned in Scripture, just for a minute or two, and then transition from that into opening our minds up and our hearts up to hearing from God. If something is why we have the pens and paper, we'll have just one recorder in your group. Pick someone who can write down ideas or scriptures that come to your mind, and we're going to have you write those out as they come. And maybe it'll be after you pray through, maybe simply after you've done having a time of adoration, just simply have a sentence prayer that says, Lord Jesus, what ideas would you have for us? What new prayer initiatives would you have for FCBC? And then simply sit quietly and listen for a minute or two. I know that's sometimes hard for some of us, you know, people that like to talk. But listen, and don't overanalyze what comes to your mind. I just want to give you this guidance, okay? Don't overanalyze what comes here. If it seems like a weird, outlandish idea, God's really good at giving us weird, outlandish ideas. Amen? Sometimes, because our brains are just like, huh, that doesn't make any logical sense. But just listen, and then if it's a scripture that comes to your mind, whatever it is, it doesn't have to be some logically, you know, a point-by-point thing, but if it is, that's the way God speaks to you, write it down. Tell the person in your group, this is what I'm sensing. So we're going to hand out these pieces of paper, and these pens, and then just going to split again, maybe people in front of you, behind you, just find a group of four or five, and we'll do this. I'll wrap us up here in about 5 minutes. Once everybody has their papers and pens. Does that all make sense to everybody, what I just said? Is it totally clear as mud, or is it? Do I need to bring any clarity? Feel free to ask me a question now before you go in. Does it all make sense to everybody? If you give me a nod of your head, yeah, thumbs up, yeah, good, okay, awesome. Okay, I get you guys to wrap things up here a little bit. Oh, we got a basket there. I have things here. Great. There's some baskets at the back. If you've written some things down on those little sticky notes, we want to keep those. And as an elders group and leadership group, we want to pray for discernment over those things. And that if there's certain prayer initiatives or things you've written down, ideas or thoughts, we want to read through those. So there's going to be a bucket here, and I think there's baskets there. So thank you, Linda. If you can find one of those brown baskets or that ice cream pail, put those little sticky notes in there. Or if you come up with another, or God gives you another idea over the next while, please email me, call me, or, you know, I do like to drink coffee, so we can get together for coffee sometime. So, but please let me know that. Great. Oh, yep. Oh, buckets are right there, and the pens. Thank you. Yep, pens, put them in there, as well as your little sheets. And if you still have a little pad, I don't know if you can put that in there too. Linda, do you want to put two buckets, one for the new pads? No, put it all in there? Okay. Put your written on piece of paper and your pads in there. So I want to pray for us, and then we'll close with the wonderful old hymn of the faith that will help us this week and every day, Be Thou My Vision. So let's bow our heads and give it over to Lord Jesus. We thank you for this time of discussion, this time of prayer, this time of adoration, of hearing what you're saying, just as Eli said to Samuel, say, speak, for your servant is listening. I pray that would be our attitude, not just in this last 5-10 minutes, but all week and throughout our lives, that we would say daily, hourly, speak, Lord, for your servants are listening, your servant is listening. Give us attentive ears, give us attentive eyes, give us your vision. In Jesus' name.